let me also join my colleagues in welcoming all of you to this orientation program on statistics. Although it is called orientation program, I envisage that it will be more interactive and a mutually learning experience, because you people deal with statistics and therefore you may be able to give a lot of insight into from the field as to what it is. That is what we are envisaging during the next 5 days to happen, not just a one-way traffic of listening, although it is called orientation. I want you to take it that way, that we consider all these programs as mutual learning experience for us also. The theme of the workshop I consider is a very critical one today in India for a variety of reasons. As my colleagues already highlighted, we are signatories to several international conventions, and many of them actually set deadlines for us to achieve. Like, you must have heard of Millennium Development Goals. Millennium Development Goals, there are 8 goals, of which two of them are directly linked to education and the one on primary education, in fact, of them. And they have set deadlines. They have set a time frame. And this has made us become conscious that, you know, we need to demonstrate that we are keeping to the deadline that internationally we have committed to achieve. Similar to the Millennium Development Goals is the Education for All Goals, which says that by 2015, we will achieve universal elementary education in this country, and we will achieve gender equality by that time, not just parity, which is a very important requirement. We will achieve at least 50% reduce the illiteracy levels in this country, which is about 35%. We have several commitments that we have made. Now, how do we really tell people whether we are achieving or not? Internationally, a large number of documents do come, and we need to really respond to them in terms of where we are. And they all look to not, our qualitative descriptions will not help. They're saying that we have an SSA program or we have an RMSA is not going to solve the problem for them. We need to tell them in figures what it is. So this is one of the things that has come up. Not only that, these kinds of deadlines, the measuring that we need to really do, the benchmarking that we have to do, also throws up a lot of new statistical tools, in fact. Like the EFA has thrown a particular kind of an index at the international level to compare countries. Like, you know, the Human Development Index, which also has major component of it is also education, also rates all the countries in terms of this. So statistics is not just the numbers. Statistics is also therefore identifying as that various indicators and indices which really help us to measure where we are. So this is one set of things that are happening at the international level, which is making this improving our statistics very critical at this stage. Second, nationally also, we have committed to many goals. We keep committing. Of course, in India, we keep forgetting also. We said that in 10 years, we will achieve universal elementary education when we got independence. Some of you were not even born at that time, but we had made a commitment. But 10 years passed away. Then we said in 90, Kothari Commission in 64, 66 said that by 85, we will achieve universal elementary education. 85 also passed. In 1986 policy, we said that by 1995, we will achieve. That also passed. In 1990, in the Jomtian Conference internationally, we also agreed by 2000, we will achieve. That is also passed. Then we had the SSA, 2000, the new century, that we had the SSA. And the SSA has its own goals. And some of the goals have passed. Some of we have chosen not to talk about many of them. Now, why I'm saying is that the statistics are the ones which enlighten us as to where we are in this country. See, the statistics are not just numbers. They tell something very vital about the health of the system. So when we say that, you know, we said that by 2005, wasn't it the 2005, there will be no child outside the school. All children will enter the school. And by 2007, initially,
earlier it was 2003, extended to 2005. Yeah, December.
First 2003, but when we realized that 2005, it was extended. But I do not know whether we can declare today that there are no children outside the school today also. And that means that all children are enrolled. Even the government data says that not all children are enrolled. And then we also said that by 2007, no child will be dropping out. All children will be in the school. At 2007 passed. Nobody is talking about that at all. No, why I'm saying is that the statistics are not just collection of some numbers and then passing on and then producing books and all. They are very vital indicators of the health of the education system of the country. The school education system where we are, if you look from 1950 to today, the statistics tells the story. of what happened to it. We may have talked of many things, great achievements we can talk about, but statistics tell you also the truth. You cannot really fudge. Once it is printed and published in 1960 that we did not achieve it, we did not achieve. When the statistics were collected in mid-1960s, they found that still there is a long way to go. Yeah, we have to really accept that. So year after year, when you produce statistics, they are telling a story. Today, many people say that the school dropout rate here has come down very significantly. But even your own educational statistics that you produce show that the dropout is not coming down rapidly at all. Even during this high growth period from 1990 to 2007 that we are talking, upper primary level, the dropout is not coming down at all. It's something that nobody can deny that when it is before. So statistics are something which, like a mirror, you cannot really deny. They can tell many things, but when it is held before you, nobody can say that it is not. They are such vital, vital part of the school education development program. Now, statistics also has many other roles to play, as was said. They are, on the one hand, they are tell about the current state of health of the system, but they are very effective tools for monitoring health. Monitoring, planning, in fact, the whole district institute of, what is the district information system for education came up as a tool for district level planning to happen under SSA. So earlier under DPEP and then SSA. So it's a tool for planning. It's a very important tool for monitoring. It is here that the what was mentioned, the right to education, which has been now become a law in this country, is not just a constitutional amendment, but also a law that has been passed by the parliament, which says that every child has the right for education in the age group 6 to 14, right for free and compulsory education in the age group 6 to 14. Now, this is a huge, huge requirement. Who will tell whether the child is getting or not? Statistics have to be really generated where it is not happening, because we know that it's very uneven. Even within a district, you cannot say everywhere it is the same. So it is the statistics which are going to guide us, help us in monitoring whether the right to education is being effectively achieved or not in that fashion. So many of the new developments that have taken place put us in greater value. The statistics have become even more valuable than what they were earlier. Today, because of all these deadlines and time frames that we have kept, all these monitoring requirements that has come up, we also have to really see two kinds of things here. One is we are dealing with an evolving system. Why this unevenness? In fact, you are going to really see that there are several sources of data that we have. They don't really match each other. And we, not only that, even within the system also, sometimes internally consistency is difficult to achieve. When you get the national level data, it looks one thing, but when you disaggregate, you find that it's something else that you get, which you are not able to reconcile. Why does it happen? One reason I think we need to be conscious here is that we are an evolving system. It's not stable. See, statistics related to a stable system is different from a statistics related to a system in flux. System is growing. It is in flux. It is changing. New policies are coming up. What happens when there is an Abhiyan, part of a mobilization campaign that you hold? So many children will come. That year the enrollment goes up. But then we weaken. In the next 2-3 years, we don't do anything. He said that the enrollment has come down. So how do you explain enrollment coming down? Very difficult. Therefore, the department will produce the same data saying that it has not come down. But it can come down. This is because we are in a flux. We are in an evolving state. We are growing. The statistics related to a stable system is so different. Sometimes the international people, particularly from the developed countries, are unable to understand why this happens. Like, for instance, in an evolving system, we have a gross enrollment ratio which is more than 100. But if all children enter the school when they are 6 years old and there is no failure and then they all pass through after 14 years, there should be no two indicators called gross and net. Everybody should have been there. There should be only one indicator. That is a stable system. It's a fully evolved stable system. So internationally, many things the developed countries think from that angle. But in a developing country where many things happen in different ways, and particularly in a growing system, now how do you capture these dynamics? The statistics for development, statistics under a phase of development or change, is different from capturing statistics in a stable state. I think we are actually in the midst of this. A lot of inconsistencies are part of our growing pangs. We are growing. This country's education system is growing. And so in the throes of growth, lots of inconsistencies appear. And our job actually as statisticians, it's okay to say that the job of the statistician, you understand. But the outside people don't understand when you present two sets of data. Our job actually is to reconcile that. And very often, we publish data without reconciling the data. And the people, the common man doesn't understand all these complications that we understand as statisticians. But so therefore, this is a huge task. And that, I think, in the orientation program, I hope you will be able to really understand better the is dynamics involved in it. When you are dealing with a changing, growing system, what kind of problems that we face, what kind of difficulties we face in terms of the reliability and validity of the data, I think is a huge, huge issue. And that needs to be understood, and we need to reconcile and present, you know, that kind of an inconsistent data presentation to outside world. Like, you know, you may say that, you know, that we have collected data and there are only 7 lakh children out of school. But people would say that, you know, this is not consistent with what we are finding. If there are too many children outside the school in every village, how do you reconcile that there are only 75? SSA says that there are only how many?
Now it is 8 million, latest.
Eight lakhs that we are telling. But many people consider that, you know, this is underestimation. There are different sources, different purposes you are collecting. SSA is collecting it from the point of view of getting all children to school and enrolling them. And therefore, they are telling something. But how does a common man understand out of school in this? This is the statistician's job to really reconcile these things, present to the world a more coherent picture of what we are. Otherwise, statistics is not of use. For instance, a plan, a policy maker, a politician doesn't understand these difficulties in inconsistencies and all those things. They want one figure to be told. You tell me how many children are there and how many children are out and what we need to really do. Don't tell me all these details. No, we need to really come up with that reconciliation process. That I think is the task of the statistics department, and I hope you will learn much more about this. So there are two other points that I want to make before I close. One is statistics in a country like India. Numbers are huge. I don't think any other country can talk about, except China, about children in the school. Maybe even in China, the number of children in the school may be to some extent coming down now. But in India, actually, the school age population is too huge. In India, it is too huge because of the what we call the demographic factor of, 50% of our population is below some 30 years or 35 years, something like that. So it's a very young country that we are talking about. The school has the largest number. Now, dealing with this number, a few decades ago would have been a mammoth task. So people would have pardoned us if we found difficulty in doing it, and there are errors that are coming into it when we collate and aggregate at the national level. But today, if we make mistakes, nobody will agree for that, because we have the opportunity to have technology. Technology has facilitated that we can deal with very huge numbers. A few decades ago, it was not. Even 2 decades ago, people would have accepted if there are errors, you know, when we are dealing with so many crores of children, you know, here and there some mistakes come in when you disaggregate, it doesn't match, understandable, you know, it happens. But today, if you do it, people are going to be not very happy with the statistics people, that, you know, that such errors can come, because technology has facilitated that you can feed millions of numbers at a time, you can collate millions of numbers, you can do hundreds of different kinds of operations on them, and you don't have to really bother, the machine will do all those things. So use of technology is an aid, but it is also a big risk for the statistics people, because it makes it much more transparent. You cannot hide, you cannot really run away from there are errors, you cannot hide them by saying that in aggregation it has happened, because we can do real-time online database we can create today. That's possible. So that, I think, is another challenge before the statistics. How can we effectively use technology, not just to present the uneven inconsistent data, but use technology to make it much more meaningful to people in that fashion? That last thing that I want to say, which I have been discussing with my colleagues many months now, is this is a workshop on school education statistics. But do we have school education statistics? Yes, we have. Where somebody will say at the national level, we have the collected educational statistics, which is a small thing that we are producing. Somebody will say DICE we have. Now, DICE is only for elementary education. It's not school education as a whole. School education would mean talking from preschool education to higher secondary that we should have. Then we have the new demands that have come because of the RMSA, Rashtriya Madhyamik Shiksha Abhiyan, the secondary education campaign, that we have the another set of database that's being generated. There is a lot of inconsistency in whatever we have been producing. As I said, not between different sources, even within the sources. Yes, and also time lag that happens. Selected educational statistics, which is the one which you say comprehensive database from starting from little bit on preschool, not much, but up to higher secondary they give. But we have been struggling to really make sense out of some of the tables that are there. Yesterday, day before we were sitting, we had to do the financial estimates for the right to education, and we wanted to know how many teachers were there. Even in the year it was published, teaching in elementary schools, and the selected education statistics doesn't give a clear cut figure and to say in every state how many teachers are teaching in the elementary schools. That is the grade 1 to 8, because right to education is from grade 1 to 8. It is impossible to make out. There is nowhere you find. Now, DICE is one source, but DICE is collected directly from the school, and from that we have collected. This one source. They don't match with each other. Now, how does one really go about doing these things? So what we have been talking therefore is that, I hope you will spend time on this, that we need an integrated database on school education in this country. Not one DICE separately, not one RMSA SEMIS separately, not SES working in that fashion, not NCERT does something once in a way in 8 years, 7 years, 10 years period. That's all not going to be very helpful to us. We may have in the sample database and then other kinds of database, ancestral something. They are all good for research. But we want reliable database for planning and monitoring. We need one comprehensive database where we are able to reconcile all these things internally. I should be able to say, to plan for elementary school, this is the database, this is the reliable data authenticated by every state. Now, DICE we produce, and tomorrow somebody, some state comes and says that, no, 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 what DICE is telling is not, we don't agree with that. It is their own schools which has given. No, that's not helpful. We need one. So we hope you will spend some time to talk in terms of generating an integrated database for school education in this country, which should tell not only currently what it is, over a period of time, it should also give us the dynamics, that is the student flow pattern, teacher attrition pattern, everything should come out, and this should be applicable to every state. Unfortunately, we don't have. Now, at the state level, when we go, as was mentioned, not all states maintain statistics the same way. Different states maintain statistics differently. The result is that we cannot really match them, except what they send to SES, to the national level. There, some of the states maintain very good statistics internally for their own state level, but not all of them are sent to the national level. Now, but there is no compatibility in the framework, in the format in which the data are collected and maintained by the state. This is because there is no compatibility in terms of the data that is collected at the school level. We have no common framework for collection of data at the school level. As Dr. Mehta mentioned, there are some states where the teachers are overloaded with data collection. 32 registers have to be filled in. They say that, you know, we don't teach, we only do this. And we seem to be happy with that, provided they produce good data. How can it be? Their major job is to teach, not to collect data. And there are states in which, you know, you go to the schools and you don't find anything. We are recently doing some studies, and then we found that in the school level, there is no data. In fact, the DICE people did a post-enumeration study, and several other institutions are involved. We didn't do it. Independent institutions went to various sample states and sample schools, and they wanted to cross-check DICE data with the school data. What did they find? In several schools, there is nothing available in the school to compare it with. And in some schools, they showed the same DICE data capture format was shown to us. How do you really reconcile? How do you really check these things? If it is a data audit that we are doing. So this one extreme. As I said, there are states which maintain very well, but they are overloaded in that fashion. So we are actually interested that since here, you know, all the best minds involved in actual statistics collection and processing from various states are involved, that if you can put your heads together and think of what could be a simple, common school format for data collection and presentation. There are two things here. We should assume that the data that you send up should be only a subset of the data that you maintain in the school. That means the school data will definitely be much more, because you need to use that data at the school level. Otherwise, nobody collects the data if you are not using. One of the reasons schools don't really collect the data properly because they don't use. So we need a larger database at level, and the format to send up we need to really do in that fashion. I hope you will spend some time, at least some thinking on across the states what should be done. You know, the income tax people all the time think of simplifying the income tax returns. But I think the time has come for us also to think of simplifying and demystifying school records so that they are simple enough, they don't tax the teacher, but they can be maintained in a dynamic fashion. Remember, school data is not static data. Year after year, new children come to your school. It is a dynamic database that we are creating. And how do we maintain the dynamic database in that fashion? Now, I think this is a very major task. I hope we will be some time at least we will devote in every workshop on statistics that we are doing. We have been devoting at least one session on this, and maybe this is a build-up for a one full workshop on school record designing, which should be simple and common for all schools in the country, irrespective of whether it is Andhra Pradesh, which has some, they say that 32 registers are to be maintained, and some others say that 18 records have to be maintained, and some really are simple, only they maintain the register, not much they are maintained. We need some some common framework to be done. I hope you will spend some time on that also. I think I took quite a lot of time in sharing my ideas on this. I hope it will be useful, and then the next 5 days you find it not only as an orientation but also as a very useful feedback when you go back to your states, and then you will have scope to really act on the statistics system that is operating in your own states. And that is our, in fact, the whole purpose of having all of you together here. Let me thank my colleagues for giving me this opportunity to share some of my ideas. Thank you very much.